I want to have you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, when you tell people you're a college professor, it's really impressive to the one telling it. But I read of a college professor who was on a cross-country train, passenger train ride, and he happened to be sitting by a farmer, and they tried to converse for a little bit and pretty soon ran out of things in common to talk about. So the college professor said, tell you what, let's play a little guessing game. I'll make up a riddle, and if you can, then you see if you can guess it, and then you make up a riddle, and I'll see if I can guess yours. And the farmer said, well, I guess that'd be okay. And then the professor said, just to make it interesting, let's make a little wager. Let's say if I can't guess your riddle, I'll give you a dollar. If you can't guess mine, you give me a dollar. And the farmer said, well, I don't think that's quite fair. He said, I didn't go to school past the eighth grade. And so how about if you can't guess my riddle, you give me a dollar, and if I can't guess yours, I'll give you 50 cents. And the professor said, well, I guess that'd be all right. You go first. So the farmer said, what's orange and has seven legs and can fly? The college professor scratched his head, tried to think of every course in zoology he'd ever had. Couldn't think of anything that was orange and had seven legs and could fly. So he pulled out a dollar from his wallet, handed it to the farmer, said, I don't know, what's the answer? Farmer said, I don't know either, and gave him 50 cents. It tells you about something about college professors, anyway. But I would like to have you look with me at something very important in Hebrews chapter 11. What I just told you wasn't very important, but what I'm about to say is, Hebrews chapter 11, of course, we know that as a chapter about faith. I guess it's fair to say every chapter in the Bible is a faith chapter, but this one's especially about faith. In verse 1, you have faith defined. In verse 6, you have faith demanded. And in the rest of the chapter, you have faith demonstrated. Now, I think that's a great sermon outline, but that's not my outline for today, all right? What I want to do is go beyond or focus rather on the latter part of it and see some ways that it's demonstrated. And here's the title I've chosen for this section, What Faith Will Do For You. You know, faith is sometimes hard for people to understand, but it shouldn't be because God has given us a very good definition of it right here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if something has substance and evidence, then it's real, right? The answer is yes, okay? If it has substance, it's not wishy. You know, sometimes people use faith to describe some wish that they have, you know. I have faith that I'm going to become a millionaire. Whoa, 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 back up a moment. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith has to be founded in something God said. If God said it, we can stake our lives and all of eternity on it. But if it isn't something God said, if it's something we just made up, we might be involved in wishful thinking, but that's not what faith is. So don't just pick out something you want and say, I'm going to claim it by faith. That's what the charismatics do, but that's not what the Bible teaches. A biblical faith has its foundation in something that God said. It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, within the parameters, then, of Bible faith, there is reality, there is substance, there is evidence. It's not unreal, it's just unseen. It's the evidence of things not seen. But it's also important to see that verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. When we talk about what faith will do for you, I want you to think about your life and this question, what is it, apart from salvation, what is it that you do by faith? How do you demonstrate faith? The latter part of this chapter gives many illustrations of Old Testament characters who demonstrated faith. They acted in light of their faith. You see, faith will do that for you. It will help you to act properly. And you must live by faith. Now, I know that's a very simple concept, but far too often we forget about it and fail to do it. You and I cannot please God without faith. Now, when you think about your daily life, does your daily life please God? What do you do that's founded on the Word of God that you can't see all the outworkings of necessarily that you're really trusting God for? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd help us to understand what faith does, how it functions. And Lord, may we demonstrate it in our lives. I thank you for these young people and for the faculty and staff. Lord, I love these people and I am privileged to be here with them again. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to be willing to let your Spirit impress upon us those things that need to be different in our lives. Lord, help us to learn to live by faith. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to do is list five things that are demonstrated in this chapter that faith can do for you. The first one is, faith helps you to approach the unapproachable. Now, verse 6, I just read the first part of it, but without faith it's impossible to please him, speaking of God. But let's notice the rest of the verse. For he that cometh to God, he that approaches God, must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, in ourselves, in our flesh, in our own goodness, in our own efforts, none of us can approach God. We can't come before God. People try that. They try to offer the works of their hands, their religiosity or whatever, and maybe their baptism or their church attendance or whatever, and they try to approach God that way, but you can't do that apart from faith. You see, God is unapproachable as far as wicked sinners are concerned. We have lost the concept of a holy God. We have made him the big grandfather in the sky, the one who always smiles and says yes to everything we want. Our whole society has lost the concept because in churches we fail to preach it. And as Christians we fail to live it and demonstrate it. But God is holy and he is therefore unapproachable. You know, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and he heard the holy, 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 Isaiah didn't say, boy, I'm a really good Christian. I know a different dispensation. Don't worry about that for now. But he didn't say, what a good boy am I. When he saw the holiness of God, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When you look at examples in the Bible, when people really saw the Lord, they didn't see themselves as good people. Job, when he heard God speak to him, he said, I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes, when he was face to face with God. the book of Revelation describes a great white throne. Speaking of God, it says, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away. Unholy men cannot approach a holy God apart from faith. Faith will help you to approach the unapproachable. Obviously, we're talking about salvation, but we're dealing with a thrice holy God. Let's don't forget to emphasize that, because the Bible is very clear on that matter. Instead of bringing God down to man's level, as is done in the emergent church philosophy, instead of thinking that God honors the rock band and the strobe lights and all that Hollywood or nightclub atmosphere, why don't we present a God who is holy and pure apart from sinners? That's the God of the Bible. And the only way that a human being can approach him is by faith. Faith bridges that gap between a sinful man and a sinless God. And without faith, it's impossible. He that cometh to God, he that approaches to God, must believe that he is. Sometimes in witnessing, we think what we have to do is overwhelm people with the logic of the anthropological and cosmological and teleological arguments for the existence of God, when the Bible simply says you can't come to God if you don't believe that he is. That's something we don't necessarily demonstrate by our logic, but it's something we believe by faith. I have not seen Jesus Christ with my eyes, but I know he's real. And I'm thankful that he died on the cross to pay the full penalty of my sin. And by faith, I trusted him as my Savior, and I know I'll spend eternity in heaven with God. You say, that sounds too simple. You know, some people say, that's easy believism. Well, what would you rather have, hard believism? It's not hard, not easy. It's just faith, that's all it is. Just taking God at his word. That's how I know I'm saved. I just took God at his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it will help you to approach the unapproachable. But you know, it doesn't stop once we get saved. Because I think we can see that faith also helps you to see the invisible. Verse 1 in the definition of it says, it's the evidence of things not seen. Look down at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now, that was the fear of God, not the fear of man. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. You see, Noah was warned of God of things not seen, and then he acted on that by faith, built the ark, preached a message that condemned the world, preached a message of righteousness. If you preach a message of righteousness, you will condemn the world by doing so, because the world is unrighteous. And Noah could see things other people couldn't see. He could see that the world was going to be destroyed by a flood. The others had never seen it rain yet. By faith, because God had told him this, he was warned of God. He didn't just make up this crazy idea to build a big boat. God revealed it to him. He believed God. And he put that faith into action. It helped him to see things nobody else could see apart from faith. You know that as you set out to serve the Lord, and I trust that's the goal that every one of you have, you may see something down the road that nobody else can see. Maybe your parents can't even see why you're here, why you would go to an unaccredited school and waste your time and money. Let me tell you, it's not a waste. It's not a waste. You study the Bible and you grow in God's word, you've not wasted a moment or a dime. But by faith, we can see things that other people can't see. Noah stood alone in seeing this. Look at verse 13. These all, meaning several of those Old Testament characters that have been mentioned, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Now, they had received the promises, but not the fulfillment of the promises. That's what this is talking about. They didn't get all the earthly benefits of the promises, but they saw them afar off. How did they see them? By faith. By faith, you can see the invisible. Look at verse 27. Speaking of Moses, when he chose in verse 25 to suffer affliction with the people of God, it says in verse 26, or verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Have you seen God? By faith you can. But faith can help you to see the invisible. The eyes of faith see what people apart from faith do not see. The fulfillment of God's promises. We need to claim God's word and set our sails depending absolutely on its reality. Even though we haven't seen with our physical eyes everything that God has promised, if we see that he's promised it by faith, we can see it come to pass. So faith helps you to approach the unapproachable, helps you to see the invisible. Then third, it helps you to think the unthinkable. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You know the story of Abraham, how God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And God said, I want you to go into a land that I will show thee. He didn't say, unto a land that I have showed you. He said, you just take off, and when you get there, I'll tell you you're there. I've thought about this journey of faith. God calls it that. I thought it's pretty amazing that Sarah went along with it. You know, my wife is sitting here, and if I were to say to her, honey, we're going to move. Now, my wife is a dutiful, obedient, submissive wife. And I'm sure she'd say, okay, I'll pack, but where are we going? Well, you know, that's the part I'm not so sure about. Maybe she said she would say, well, I think I'll wait till I start packing later. You know, it's pretty amazing that they took this journey, and it was a major event. You say, well, he didn't have a big mansion built. He just had a tent. Abraham had a lot of possessions. It was a major activity to move. But he took the journey by faith. He didn't see, didn't know the exact location. He just knew that God said to go, and that was enough. He had God's word. And it'd be unthinkable otherwise to just say, all right, let's go somewhere and see what happens. You think differently when you think by faith than you think apart from faith. And Abraham demonstrated that in a really amazing way in verses 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, God said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God had said, Isaac is the chosen one through whom the seed will be. Isaac is the one. And then after having said that, God said, now I want you to go up on Mount Moriah and offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Now let me tell you, I have two sons and three daughters. It would be absolutely unthinkable for me to intentionally take the life of any of my children. Absolutely unthinkable. But God said, that's what I want you to do, Abraham. that one son, whom I've said is going to be the one through whom the seed will be, I want you to take his life. I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. That would be absolutely unthinkable to do that had not God said to do it. By faith, Abraham was able to think in a way that was absolutely unthinkable any other way apart from faith. I think of Caleb in the book of Joshua, 85 years of age, and it was time to parcel out the land, and Caleb didn't want the easy spot. You know the song, I want that mountain. Well, that mountain happened to be inhabited by giants, and Caleb believed what God said about his inheritance in the land. He said, in effect, God's going to give it to me. I'm not 85 yet. I'm getting close, but I'm not there yet. And it would be unthinkable for me to say, okay, I'm going to go to a hard spot, chase out enemies, and set up housekeeping there, right? But by faith, we think differently than we think apart from faith. You know, in some churches, pastors experience resistance from people who just don't want to step out on faith. I've instituted faith promise missions giving in three churches, and there always are people who are a little skeptical about it, and it sounds like a crazy idea, you know. But I became convinced it's not just a fundraising scheme, but there are biblical principles upon which it's founded. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing what can and has been accomplished as a consequence of it. One church I pastored happened to be filled with Dutch people, Western Michigan, Dutch settlement. One of the men said to me, you know, these Dutchmen, and he was one of them, said, most of them have some money, meaning quite a bit of money. And he said, but they didn't get it by giving it away. Pretty obvious message to me, the pastor, you know. It's unthinkable that you could give money away and prosper as a result. That doesn't make sense unless you see a promise from God about it. A lot of people think they can't afford to tithe. And it wouldn't make much sense if you didn't have a promise from God about it. He said, prove me now herewith if I will not open the windows of heaven, pour you out such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain it. Faith helps you to think the unthinkable. Faith is not irrational, but it's based upon the highest form of logic. See, God's thoughts are not inferior to ours. They are superior to ours, okay? God's ways are not inferior to ours. They are superior to ours. By faith, when we can claim God's word, we will think in a different way. Ways that, apart from faith, would seem unthinkable. Faith is not irrational. You don't park your brain when you pick up your Bible. But you learn how to think properly based upon the highest form of logic. God is not illogical. He is not irrational. When he created this universe, there was some order to it. Things fit in an amazing way. And they function in an orderly fashion. Nobody thinks more clearly than God does. Why? Because he knows everything. God's logic is based upon omniscience. What would make more sense than to think in agreement with God? But sometimes we have to do that by faith. And when we do, we think the unthinkable. By the way, the critics would say, well, you Christians, everything you believe is subjective. No, it's not. Something that's subjective comes from within you. I didn't make up Christianity. I didn't make up the plan of salvation. I didn't write the Bible. That's objective. It's from outside me. It's been revealed to me by God. But I didn't make it up. When Paul called the gospel my gospel, he didn't mean he invented it. He had received it, and then it became his. Okay, it was revealed to him. He accepted it. Then it was his, but it was not his by invention. Believing God and following the Bible is not a subjective way to live because we are not making it up ourselves. It's a revealed message, totally from outside us. But you can think the unthinkable when you think by faith. Things that, apart from faith, wouldn't seem to make sense. It's amazing how, if we just could reason from God's angle, we'd see how it makes sense. I've said this before, but my two sons, when they were small, had a big wheel. You know what a big wheel is? You know why they call it that? Got a big wheel. That's why they call it that. They had a big wheel. And we lived on a street that had a steep slope, paved road. Right down the bottom of the hill was an intersection. And then a short distance after that was the Mississippi River. Now, every five-year-old boy knows that a big wheel goes better on pavement downhill than in the grass in the yard. Right? But Dad knew something that the five-year-old didn't know. And so I had a rule. You can't ride the big wheel in the street. That didn't make sense to the boys. But they're both still alive today. You see, and I'm certainly not a good illustration of God, but I was able to think then on a higher level than my boys were. Okay, I knew some things they didn't know. And sometimes God tells us things and we say, that doesn't make sense. But if we were omniscient, we'd say, oh, that makes all the sense in the world. If we just knew all the facts about everything, then it would make sense. But since we don't know all the facts about everything, why don't we just have faith in the God who does? Why don't we just believe his word? Instead of trying to ride our big wheel in the street. So faith will help you to approach the unapproachable, see the invisible, think the unthinkable, and then fourth, and there are only five if that will encourage you, it helps you to bear the unbearable. If we go down toward the latter part of this chapter, let's pick it up in verse 33. It's not the beginning of a sentence, but it's talking about Old Testament characters, some named and then some unnamed ones that are about to be introduced, who faith, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. That sort of sounds like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, doesn't it? Oh, you thought it sounded like Shadrach, Meshach. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay. They escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. The Bible doesn't record this, but tradition says that that's how Isaiah died, sawn in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And here's what God says about these people, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Let me tell you, these things would be unbearable apart from faith. Through faith, you can bear that which is otherwise unbearable. These are some amazing stories. Again, a lot of these people are not named. There is somebody here who stopped the mouths of lions, sort of makes you think of Daniel. But torture, martyrdom, destitution, affliction. These are people who suffered what others would say they faced unbearable circumstances. There are some amazing stories of the heroism, if you will, of believers who just trusted God through all of those kind of circumstances. Not only here in the book of Hebrews, but church history since then is full of stories of people who were able to bear that which otherwise, apart from faith, would be absolutely unbearable. Our heritage as Baptists is traceable to many people whose blood was shed for their faith. For, in many cases, the doctrine of baptism by immersion. Not just men either, not just preachers. Some women burned at the stake. Their only crime was believing God's word and living by it. Unbearable torture. And yet, by faith, it was bearable. Job said this in chapter 13, verse 5, though he, God, slay me, yet will I trust in him. No matter how bad it gets, and let me tell you, it was bad for Job. No matter how bad it gets, he said, I'm going to trust God. He had what I call an unshakable faith, a faith that was not based upon circumstances, but a faith that transcended his circumstances. He just believed God. And he was willing to trust God no matter how bad his life became in the external circumstances. You know, there are people who are afraid to go to the mission field. Afraid they'll have to eat something they're not accustomed to eating. Well, that very well may happen. When I moved from the north to the south, I ate some things I hadn't eaten before, okay? Why be afraid of God's plan? Why be afraid of the plan of the one who loves you so much he gave himself for you? Why be afraid of what he's got in mind for you? You can go any place in the world and eat whatever God wants you to eat and survive. And you might even choose to like it. But whether you like it or not is not the essence of life. Right? But you function by faith. God will help you to bear that which otherwise to you would seem to be unbearable. Yes, there are places in the world where living conditions are not the most comfortable. But there are people in the world who live in those conditions and they need the gospel. If other people can live under those conditions, why can't we? Especially if we have God to help us. Years ago, when I was pastoring in Michigan, we often would drive around through the Chicago, Hammond, and Gary, Indiana section, which is not the prettiest part of the country. Brother Atkinson knows well. But I, many times when we were driving up there to Michigan, I go through there, and I think every time we went through there, I said to my wife, boy, thank God we don't live here. You know, you ought to be careful what you say. But I really thought it was such a dirty, ugly place to live. I wouldn't want to ever live there. Well, I only lived there 10 years, okay, and loved it. Because when I was driving through, I saw unpleasant scenery, but when God put me there in the ministry, I saw people. What a difference. And what I thought would be the worst place in the world to live, we loved it. We loved it. But when you're following God, things that you would think are unbearable are absolutely bearable. One more thing. Faith not only helps you to approach the unapproachable, see the invisible, think the unthinkable, and bear the unbearable, but it will help you to do the impossible. Look at verse 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God was the one who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, that's her husband, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. I would think 90 years of age is a tough time to have a baby. In fact, we're told in the book of Genesis that it had ceased to be with her after the manner of women, meaning that monthly cycle, which would allow her to conceive seed, had stopped, and if she had gone to a doctor, he would say, it's impossible for you to have a baby. Can't happen. No way. Impossible. But it says, through faith, she received strength to conceive seed. God had said, you're going to have a son. I'm going to make of him a great nation. She's 90 years of age. Abraham's 100, waiting for the baby to come along. Pretty amazing. It could not have happened apart from faith. Look at verses 29 and 30. Verse 29, by faith they, the children of Israel, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. That was impossible to walk through the Red Sea as on dry land. That was impossible, but yet it was possible by faith because God was directing them to go that way. By the way, it didn't work for the Egyptians who didn't enter that by faith. But for the Israelites who went through by faith, they walked as on dry land. Impossible, but they did it. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now, that wasn't the faith of the walls, but by faith, they fell down, all right? And it would seem like a crazy military strategy to march around it. But what was impossible, apart from faith, was accomplished by faith. Jesus said to the lame man, rise, take up your bed and walk. He couldn't do that, but he did. You know what sounds impossible to me? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That sounds impossible to me. But it's not possible because it's a commandment from our Lord, and his commandments are not grievous. He has not asked us to do anything that we could not do. He's not asked us to do anything that he would not empower us to do. God has a purpose for your life. Don't lean on your own understanding. That is a sin. Because God told you not to do that. But he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If you do that, he'll direct your path. He'll give you the guidance. He will reveal to you in his timing where he wants you to pitch your tent. Maybe you're in a circumstance in life like Abraham was when God said, go, I'll tell you when you get there. That may be where you are right now. Some of you may be worried about the fact you don't know what you'll be 25 years from now. Don't worry about that. Truth is, none of us knows. Well, I have a pretty good idea where I'll be 25 years from now, but and I'll understand everything perfectly then. But just obey God. Just by faith, claim his promises. Don't worry about what you don't know or can't do or don't understand. Just claim God's word by faith and live it. And let the God who loves you, who knows the end from the beginning, let him work out all the details. He has a plan for your life that's good for you, acceptable for you, and perfect for you. You certainly can't improve upon that with your own thinking. Trust him. He's proven himself to be trustworthy over and over and over again. But remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I'll ask you again, as I did at the beginning, apart from salvation, what is it that you do by faith? Are you willing to surrender every bit of yourself and your life to him by faith? Would you bow your heads? We'll pray in just a moment. What is it that you do by faith? Just dependent upon the word of God. I wonder if there might be some of you here today who'd say, Brother Surrett, God has spoken to my heart today. There's something specific that I need to surrender to God by faith. I have been unwilling to trust him, but by faith, I'm going to launch out, claim his word, and live in obedience to him by faith beginning today. I wonder if there might be some who say, God has specifically spoken to my heart that way. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you. Father in heaven, help us all to live by faith. I pray for every one of these who have mentioned that you specifically have dealt with them today. Lord, help them to claim your promises, not just their desires and wishes, but your word, and then live according to it by faith. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.